This is Freight again. I'm going. We are doing another one of our comic book conversations here. For the time being, though, I think I'm going to lift the veil a bit. My name is Jeremy, and with me today is
Steve
and
Jesse.
Yeah, we're going to try and make this a pretty regular thing, and we're going to get into another conversation about a newer Marvel series. But in the meantime, how you guys doing?
Not too bad. I am finally over my sprained ankle.
Oh, that's good. What's it like being a one-legged man for a while?
Not fun.
How about you, Jesse?
Oh, I've had better days.
You been sick for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
on a pretty bad cough right now.
Yeah, I'm down here in the Southland. I'm getting my voice back, but in the meantime, there's some, like, 40-mile-an-hour wind coming out of nowhere for some reason.
Yeah, it was so bad up here. Blew the siding off my mom's house.
Oh, ouch. Did you have to nail that back up yourself?
I was down with a sprained ankle, and I only heard about it today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a no. All right. Before we go digging into a bunch of things here, I got to ask you guys a question, and this is one of those regular stupid questions that groups of nerds will ask each other. Who do you think is the worst comic book character of all time?
Worst. That's a hard one.
It's hard to put up in a second's notice, I know.
I mean, the obvious answer for a lot of people, I think, would be Aquaman.
You don't think talking to Tuna is a good way to go about it?
Not really. Not normally.
You know, that may be something we'll have to get into soon, because I've heard the latest version of Aquaman is one of the best things about DC lately.
That would be surprising and welcome.
What about you, Jesse?
Honestly, not to say I'm not a fan of this character, but I think Superman is being just as powerful as he... I can't get a complete thought on that. I was going to say Superman.
That's one of those answers that could get you hurt in a lot of circles.
Hey, it's an opinion. Everyone has one.
No, but I agree with you. I've said before, I don't think it's a great thing when in the first 60 issues you have three versions of Magic Rocks just to give a guy a weakness.
Well, to be quite honest, that's pretty much his problem, is he doesn't have many weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, I put some thought into it, and for my money, I think one of the worst characters is Reed Richards, the old Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, the old Mr. Deus Ex Machina, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the stretching powers is, in the land of comic books these days, kind of a dime a dozen. You have to get really inventive, or at least lethal, to make really worthwhile, I guess you could say. But there is something about his attitude that just drives me up a wall. You know, for years, Susan...
The robot?
Something to that effect. For years, Susan Storm would flirt with him, and he'd be so busy bent over a diode that he wouldn't figure out what's going on. He can't figure out some of his long-standing problems that he always promises to fix. And he's always got this holier-than-thou attitude that just makes you want to smack the man. But
a lot of their brilliant minds have that problem, though. I notice a similar problem with Hank Pym.
Well, some of them hide it better, though, like Amadeus Cho.
True.
You know, the Black Panther, as smart as he is, you don't really want to hit the man.
No.
All right, but I was talking to the higher-ups in Mission Start, and they suggested getting a name. They want to name this. Apparently, they heard what we did last time, and they were impressed. So, on Steve's say-so, I went and brainstormed for the last week, trying to come up with good names. And I want you guys to listen to these, because I don't want to just say, this is the name. I've come up with The Basement, Down the Bat Pole. I know, that sounds painful.
That's it.
The Comic Shop, Rolling 20s, Raiders of the Long Box. You're laughing already. The Quarter Bin, and an old favorite of mine, Welcome to Eltingville.
Oh, God. That's wow.
If any of you guys have not watched Welcome to Eltingville, it was a one-off on Adult Swim about a decade ago. It's really worth looking up on YouTube.
It was fun.
All right. Any of those stick out to you guys?
Rolling 20s and Raiders of the Long Box sound fun to me.
Those were my two as well.
Wow, that's amazingly similar, and after spending a week thinking about it, I kind of like Rolling 20s. It's something that we've done rather infrequently, but at the same time, it sounds like you can actually call a group that.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to lock that Batman reference up in a deep dark hole.
Well, we're kind of fortunate that we're kind of fortunate that right now we are not yet a live podcast. So once we decide on a name, I have time to go out and get the URL. Because the last thing I want to do is end up like Kevin Smith in Smodcast. Did you hear that story?
No.
He started Smodcast. It was just him and a friend, Scott Mosier, talking. And after a while, it turned out popular enough that they decided they should really get their own website for it. By the time they went looking for Smodcast, somewhere between 30 and 60 podcasts in, somebody had bought it and would not relent it unless they paid in like the mid four figures.
Jeez.
Isn't it great that people can legally buy stuff that should be yours and just wait until you want it?
Yeah. Although I have to say that was a smart entrepreneurial initiative there.
Yeah, well, there were guys that made millions early on in the history of the internet just buying URLs of different companies that weren't taken and then reselling it to them for 5 to 6 figures. I heard of one guy that became a millionaire based on that.
Dick.
Yeah, it's a dick move, but it was a money-making dick move. In the history of high finance, it seems like the dicks make the money.
A lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah. But we've got something else we're going to have to push up to next week. Steve and I discussed doing a discussion on Wildstorm. Do you remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bad news came out on Friday. Scott Clark passed away at 43.
No way.
Yeah, he. A lot of people know him because he's done work on the second volume of Alpha Flight for Marvel. He's done work lately on covers of Grifter and Death. He's done the interiors of Deathstroke in the DCU currently. Not a lot of people seem to remember. He cut his teeth on the very first imprint of Wildstorm Stormwatch back when it was Image Comics. And he, personally speaking, he was one of those guys that really stuck out to me, and he was on a book that I thought was really under-heralded in Image's time.
I really liked Stormwatch. That was a good book.
Yeah, it started to get a little dicey when they tried to reboot Stormwatch.
The initiative?
We'll have to get into this at another time, but part of Stormwatch became the Authority. Stormwatch got rebooted as Team Achilles and Stormwatch PCD, something of that nature.
Yeah, the only one I really liked was the one that was being... it was all the humans running around.
Yeah, that was Team Achilles.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll save that for another day, because today we've agreed to discuss the newest imprint of the Avengers, which, as far as I know, is the fifth volume of the book. There have been a few recent reboots in regards to that, as well as some team breaks, team rebirths, and multiple deaths, including a few caused by members of their own squad. But this latest version appears to be more of a global initiative. Jesse, you want to give an explanation as to where they sit right now? Just give a synopsis, you know, give us where your interpretation of where they are.
Wow, spotlight. honestly, if I actually just read it and said this, there's read, and I think I am just like the wrong part of read when I read these things.
Okay, well, do you want... Steve, you want to take over then?
Okay. They took kind of the movie Avengers and sent them up against a foe that they couldn't handle, but also kind of mentioned before, you know, the mission that they Captain America had mentioned that they needed to grow, and Tony Stark really kind of ran with the idea, and they set up a emergency measure where they could activate additional Avengers members should the need be required. So it's actually quite a large Avengers force. I haven't really read a lot of the previous Avengers, so I'm not really familiar with some of with all of their past members, but some old members, Wolverine, Spider-Man, and some new ones that I hadn't even heard of. I had to wait until the kind of origin issue to figure out that, oh, Smasher was actually one of the Imperial Guard. I had no idea. It's kind of a unique take on it, where they can basically spotlight certain individuals and run with the story and kind of tell it from different perspectives.
Well, similar to our last conversation, a part of this, I think, is the fallout of Avengers versus X-Men. because the Avengers ignored part of their planet, i.e. the mutant problem, well, not mutant, the mutant situation so long, things blew out of hand when it came to the time they actually had to interact with the X-Men for once.
Yeah, I mean, the most interaction that they've really had with mutants is Wolverine, Max Mobs.
Yeah, cleanup duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have... you're right, they have gotten kind of an armada as far as a current roster, and the implications are that they aren't done adding to it, from what I can see. But it's very unlikely that all these guys are going to be called up unless the sky is falling.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen with Marvel?
Once a summer? I mean, they're already talking about the latest events. Thanos is coming this summer.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's just something called Infinity. They're not saying much more than that. However,
it's kind of a leading name.
Well, Thanos and the word Infinity generally regard some very bad things.
Yeah.
And let alone that's not the only thing happening. The Apocalypse Twins are coming.
I am unfamiliar with...
So yeah. Am I. The words have come out. I've seen pictures, but I'm still not sure what I'm looking at yet. But that's... I'm sure that's going to be a whole different thing. But you're right. The series right now revolves around the main... After the movie, what you call the main six Avengers. And they've built a team around them, it looks like, to enhance their weaknesses. Or at least reinforce them, I should say.
Yeah.
But they've gone rather eclectic. They've brought in some relatively old hats like Captain Marvel and the Falcon. They've brought in some of the newer Avengers like Spider-Man and Spider-Woman. But then they've surrounded themselves by a whole bunch of people who have just plain never worn an A before. And so,
including two mutants.
Yeah. Yeah, Cannonball and Sunspot. You know, Cannonball himself had been an X-Man twice, but for some reason that never really seemed to take.
Yeah, he was always very underrated. I guess I can see people's point, you know, that the man flies at things and hits them.
So does Superman. Really, look at him.
Yeah. Superman without, you know, the laser beams and all, you know, other kind of godlike powers that they wound up giving him, but...
No, he got that period this time.
But yeah, honestly, Cannonball was never really that popular of a character, it seemed. And Sunspot, the same. They both started in New Mutants, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's way back in the 70s, if I remember correctly.
Ended up on X-Force with Under Cable.
Oh. I'm sorry, X-Force has become a name, but you gotta admit, this is Freight again, I'm going... We are doing another one of our comic book conversations here. For the time being, though, I think I'm going to lift the veil a bit. My name is Jeremy, and with me today is...
Steve.
And?
Jesse.
Yeah, we're going to try and make this a pretty regular thing, and we're going to get into another conversation about a newer Marvel series. But in the meantime, how you guys doing?
Not too bad. I am finally over my sprained ankle.
Oh, that's good. What's it like being a one-legged man for a while?
Not fun.
How about you, Jesse?
Oh, I've had better days.
You been sick for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Working
on a pretty bad cough right now.
Yeah, I'm down here in the Southland. I'm getting my voice back, but in the meantime, there's some, like, 40-mile-an-hour wind coming out of nowhere for some reason.
Yeah, it was so bad up here. Blew the siding off my mom's house.
Oh, ouch. Did you have to nail that back up yourself?
I was down with a sprained ankle, and I only heard about it today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a no. All right. Before we go digging into a bunch of things here, I got to ask you guys a question, and this is one of those regular stupid questions that groups of nerds will ask each other. Who do you think is the worst comic book character of all time?
Worst.
That's a hard one.
It's hard to put up in a second's notice, I know.
I mean... The obvious answer for a lot of people, I think, would be Aquaman.
You don't think talking to Tuna is a good way to go about it?
Not really. Not normally.
You know, that may be something we'll have to get into soon, because I've heard the latest version of Aquaman is one of the best things about DC lately.
That would be surprising and welcome.
What about you, Jesse?
Honestly, not to say I'm not a fan of this character, but I think Superman is being... just as powerful as he... get a complete thought on that. I was going to say Superman.
That's one of those answers that could get you hurt in a lot of circles.
Everyone has one.
No, but I agree with you. I've said before, I don't think it's a great thing when in the first 60 issues you have three versions of Magic Rocks just to give a guy a weakness.
Well, to be quite honest, that's pretty much his problem, is he doesn't have many weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, I put some thought into it, and for my money, I think one of the worst characters is Reed Richards, the old Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, the old Mr. Deus Ex Machina, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the stretching powers is, in the land of comic books these days, kind of a dime a dozen. You have to get really inventive, or at least lethal, to make it really worthwhile, I guess you could say. But there is something about his attitude that just drives me up a wall. You know, something to that effect. For years, Susan Storm would flirt with him, and he'd be so busy bent over a diode that he wouldn't figure out what's going on. He can't figure out some of his long-standing problems that he always promises to fix. And he's always got this holier-than-thou attitude that just makes you want to smack the man. But
a lot of their brilliant minds have that problem, though. I noticed a similar problem with Hank Pym.
Well, some of them hide it better, though, like Amadeus Cho.
True.
You know, the Black Panther, as smart as he is, you don't really want to hit the man.
No.
All right, but I was talking to the higher-ups in Mission Start, and they suggested getting a name. They want to name this. Apparently, they heard what we did last time, and they were impressed. So, on Steve's say-so, I went and brainstormed for the last week, trying to come up with good names. And I want you guys to listen to these, because I don't want to just say, this is the name. I've come up with The Basement, Down the Bat Pole. I know, that sounds painful.
That's it.
The Comic Shop, Rolling Twenties, Raiders of the Long Box. You're laughing already. The Quarter Bin, and an old favorite of mine, Welcome to Eltingville.
Oh, God. That's wow.
If any of you guys have not watched Welcome to Eltingville, it was a one-off on Adult Swim about a decade ago. It's really worth looking up on YouTube.
It was fun.
All right. Any of those stick out to you guys?
Rolling 20s and Raiders of the Long Box sound fun to me.
Those were my two as well.
Wow, that's amazingly similar. And after spending a week thinking about it, I kind of like Rolling 20s. It's something that we've done rather infrequently, but at the same time, it sounds like you can actually call a group that.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to lock that Batman reference up in a deep, dark hole.
Well, we're kind of fortunate that we're kind of fortunate that right now we are not yet a live podcast. So once we decide on a name, I have time to go out and get the URL. Because the last thing I want to do is end up like Kevin Smith in Smodcast. Did you hear that story?
No.
He started Smodcast. It was just him and a friend, Scott Mosier, talking. And after a while, it turned out popular enough that they decided they should really get a their own website for it. By the time they went looking for Smodcast, somewhere between 30 and 60 podcasts in, somebody had bought it and would not relent it unless they paid in like the mid four figures.
Jeez.
Isn't it great that people can legally buy stuff that should be yours and just wait until you want it?
Yeah. Although I have to say that was a smart entrepreneurial initiative there.
Yeah, well, there were guys that made millions early on in the history of the internet just buying URLs of different companies that weren't taken and then reselling it to them for 5 to 6 figures. I heard of one guy that became a millionaire based on that.
Dick.
Yeah, it's a dick move, but it was a money-making dick move. In the history of high finance, it seems like the dicks make the money.
A lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah. But we've got something else we're going to have to push up to next week. Steve and I discussed doing a discussion on Wildstorm. Do you remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bad news came out on Friday. Scott Clark passed away at 43.
No way.
Yeah, he. A lot of people know him because he's done work on the second volume of Alpha Flight for Marvel. He's done work lately on covers of Grifter and he's done the interiors of Deathstroke in the DCU currently. Not a lot of people seem to remember. He cut his teeth on the very first imprint of Wildstorm Stormwatch back when it was Image Comics. And he, personally speaking, he was one of those guys that really stuck out to me, and he was on a book that I thought was really under-heralded in Image's time.
I really liked Stormwatch. That was a good book.
Yeah, it started to get a little dicey when they tried to reboot Stormwatch.
Do you have the initiative?
Well, if you remember, well, we'll have to get into this in another time, but part of Stormwatch became the Authority, Stormwatch got rebooted as Team Achilles, and Stormwatch PCD, something of that nature.
Yeah, the only one I really liked was the one that was being, it was all the humans running around.
Yeah, that was Team Achilles.
Yeah.
Alright, but we'll save that for another day, because today we've agreed to discuss the newest imprint of the Avengers, which, as far as I know, is the fifth volume of the book. There have been a few recent reboots in regards to that, as well as some team breaks, team rebirths, and multiple deaths, including a few caused by members of their own squad. But this latest version appears to be more of a global initiative. Jesse, you want to give an explanation as to where they sit right now? Just give a synopsis, you know, give us where your interpretation of where they are.
Wow, spotlight. honestly, if I actually just read it and said this, there's read, and I think I am just like the wrong part of read when I read these things.
Okay, well, do you want, Steve, you want to take over then?
Okay, yeah, they took kind of the movie Avengers and sent them up against a foe that they couldn't handle, but also kind of mentioned before, you know, the mission that they Captain America had mentioned that they needed to grow, and Tony Stark really kind of ran with the idea, and they set up a emergency measure where they could activate additional Avengers members should the need be required. So it's actually quite a large Avengers force. I haven't really read a lot of the previous Avengers, so I'm not really familiar with some of with all of their past members. But some old members, Wolverine, Spider-Man, and some new ones that I hadn't even heard of. I had to wait until the kind of origin issue to figure out that, oh, Smasher was actually one of the Imperial Guard. I had no idea. But yeah, it's kind of a unique take on it, where they can basically spotlight certain individuals and run with the story and kind of tell it from different perspectives.
Well, similar to our last conversation, a part of this, I think, is the fallout of Avengers versus X-Men. Because the Avengers ignored part of their planet, i.e. the mutant problem, well, not mutant, the mutant situation so long, things blew out of hand when it came to the time they actually had to interact with the X-Men for once.
Yeah, I mean, the most interaction that they've really had with mutants is Wolverine, Max Mobs.
Yeah, cleanup duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have, you're right, they have gotten kind of an armada as far as a current roster, and the implications are that they aren't done adding to it from what I can see. But it's very unlikely that all these guys are going to be called up unless the sky is falling.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen with Marvel?
Once a summer? I mean, they're already talking about the latest events. Thanos is coming this summer.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's just something called Infinity. They're not saying much more than that. However,
it's kind of a leading name.
Well, Thanos and the word Infinity generally regard some very bad things.
Yeah.
And let alone that's not the only thing happening. The Apocalypse Twins are coming.
I am unfamiliar with...
So yeah. Am I. The words have come out. I've seen pictures, but I'm still not sure what I'm looking at yet. But that's... I'm sure that's going to be a whole different thing. But you're right. The series right now revolves around the main... After the movie, what you call the main six Avengers. And they've built a team around them, it looks like, to enhance their weaknesses. Or at least reinforce them, I should say.
Yeah.
But they've gone rather eclectic. They've brought in some relatively old hats like Captain Marvel and the Falcon. They've brought in some of the newer Avengers like Spider-Man and Spider-Woman. But then they've surrounded themselves by a whole bunch of people who have just plain never worn an A before. And so,
including two mutants.
Yeah. Yeah, Cannonball and Sunspot. You know, Cannonball himself had been an X-Man twice. But for some reason, that never really seemed to take.
Yeah. He was always very underrated. I guess I can see people's point, you know, that the man flies at things and hits them.
So does Superman. Really, look at him.
Yeah, Superman without, you know, the laser beams and all, you know, other kind of godlike powers that they wound up giving him. But
no, he got that period this time.
But yeah, honestly, yeah, Cannonball was never really that popular of a character, it seemed. And Sunspot, the same. They both started in New Mutants, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's way back in the 70s, if I remember correctly.
Ended up on X-Force with Under Cable.
Oh. I'm sorry. X-Force has become a name. It, you know, but you gotta admit, it started out as a result of that 90s extreme craze that just... After a while, you look back and you think how painful that was.
Yeah, I try not to. I still to this day, I just have to say, poor Boom Boom.
Yeah, you can almost smell the flannel and the coffee.
the fact that they are actually including some of actual mutants onto their team, I think that's in reference to what they just went through with the X-Men.
Well, we'll have to see if they actually pay attention to it, because during the recruitment phase, was it Cannonball and Sunspot made it pretty clear they weren't interested in being X-Men anymore.
No, definitely not. Actually, that recruitment phase, awesomely done.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It did give a little insight into everybody.
Yeah, well, I my personal favorite was the recruitment of Spider-Man. That was awesome.
And Wolverine.
Yeah, well,
self-explanatory.
Well, the Spider-Man thing is going to turn out to be a little dicey here itself pretty soon. How up are you on Spider-Man's current status?
Honestly, not that much. Although I've been seeing some advertisements for a more edgy Spider-Man, I guess I would say.
Okay, for any of you who are listening and are wondering why we're talking about all this, I'm going to tell you guys now. You've heard of spoiler alerts before. This is spoiler-geddon. If you guys don't want to know what's going on in, like, several other series right now, you may want to go somewhere else, because it's becoming very interconnected. Peter Parker is dead.
I see.
There's no other way to really put that. His body is not dead, but he apparently had his mind swapped with Otto Octavius. Against his will, of course.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Otto Octavius' body died with Peter Parker's mind in it. However, before he died, he managed to unlock all of his memories inside his body's brain. So now Otto Octavius is... He wants to impress the world, he wants to rule the world, but he has this nagging conscience on him to do the right thing. And the success ratio seems to be about 50-50. So now they're dealing with a superbly arrogant, but highly knowledgeable Spider-Man.
I guess that explains his actions in the comic.
Not entirely, because in later issues we found out that Peter Parker's mind is actually still inhabiting his body somewhere, but he's nowhere near driver's seat.
Talking like trunk?
I don't know. Think of it as some kind of phantasm that's watching everything from the third person.
Wow, that's one hell of a backseat driver.
Yeah, I really wish I had a better way to put all this, but that's something you're going to have to read for yourselves.
Yeah. Although it makes me wonder what's going to happen the first time he runs into a powerful telepath.
You aren't kidding. So there's a few classic ones that I've never really gotten my head around here. And part of that has to do with the Falcon.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice.
Well, it's classic partners of Captain America's made him kind of obvious because he's both experienced and, you know, they know his patterns. But I've never really gotten a handle as to what his power set is. I know he's human. I know he's developed the wings that help him fly. The whole telepathy with birds, though, I don't quite understand all that. Does anybody have a better angle on that?
First I'd heard of it, but then again, I'm not very familiar with the character.
This reminds me of Airborne Aquaman for some reason.
Yeah, well, at least this one came in useful. Hmm. You know, he managed to turn an entire horde of bird-like creatures. Hang on, we've got the internet here. Why don't we ask Wikipedia?
But my ego.
You know, we can't say we know much about the Falcon, so I think ego kind of killed itself on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, okay, I looked up Sam Wilson. He came up with some kind of historical figure. Here we go, powers. I know he had a close bond with a partner of his own, Red Wing. It was like this Red Hawk. Okay, apparently later the Red Skull used the Cosmic Cube to create a supernormal mental link between him and the bird. That's... Is that really considered messing with somebody? You know, you're a pain in my ass. Here, talk to your bird.
Telepathically, no less.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what to say, Cap. I can't focus. Everything's about Seed. Let me see. Okay, he's been able to expand it. Okay, so apparently this mental link Red Skull gave me, he's able to expand it into avian telepathy, I guess you could say.
Okay, well that explains that then.
Yeah, I mean, it can be useful when you consider how many birds are out there and how much you have basically, or you have free spies all over the world if you can expand it that far. You know, you have your own information network that it's going to be kind of hard to avoid.
Hmm.
Okay.
Although, I can imagine the conversations right now. This is my nest, stay away!
Fish, 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 fish!
I'm suddenly reminded of the seagulls and Finding Nemo.
Yeah, do you think he avoids the coast? Okay. Starting to get embarrassing here. Okay, but, you know, one of the bigger X factors they brought in are some of these lower level guys that have never been anywhere close to superheroics before, like Shang-Chi. And
yeah, that was when I was like, okay, so they brought in him rather than Iron Fist. Interesting.
Well, that probably has to do with the fact that Luke Cage said no. If Cage said no, you can bet Iron Fist will go his way.
True, true.
Yeah.
You know, and that was also one of the more surprising things with some of the people kept out. I can't tell if that's going to be, you know, look, they've come in later, or if they're really going to do something else. I have heard that there may be a new Heroes for Hire series coming, which would explain a lot.
Mm.
You know, Iron Fist and Luke Cage have gained a lot of popularity from their recent stints in the Avengers and New Avengers. So it makes sense that if you have the ability to make money with these characters, why not start a new book?
True.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where you wonder if their popularity is based on the fact that they were Avengers, so would people follow them if they're not?
Well, I think that's a gamble that, you know, obviously they're willing to take.
And what do you think?
If that was, you know, true that they're going to get their own series.
And what do you think, Jesse? Is that something where people would jump ship to, well, not jump ship, but at least expand their readership if they like the characters that much?
I imagine there will be a select community that want to see that.
Do you think it'll be enough to keep it going, though? That's the question. There's always enough interest on new books because everyone wants a number one, but whether or not they'll stick around, yeah.
I can't say for sure. I'd like to see it go somewhere, but honestly, I don't know. Like, they're a very niche kind of group.
That's true.
I don't know. Due to the fact that, you know, Heroes for Hire and so on and so forth, if they had capitalized on, say, the A-Team craze right after the movie came out, they might have gotten a little more with it, you know, Mercenaries for Hire type thing.
Well, you could kind of say that craze is still going with the Expendables and stuff.
True.
Oh, God.
What? Did I just strike you somewhere sensitive?
Oh, no, I watched the second Expendables and it was like, I really wish I didn't pay this much for it.
Okay. Obviously, we're going to have to discuss movies at some point. another interesting choice that came out of all this, and this was another one of those things that relatively threw me. Oh, wait. That wasn't... Wow, okay. That would have to be the choice of Manifold.
That's a mystery character to me.
Well, his name is...
It's Gateway's son.
Yeah, his name is Eden Fessy. I don't know if you could argue he's a mutant like Gateway was, since his powers seem to be based on extra-dimensional math, more or less. But he started out actually as one of Nick Fury's, the original Nick Fury, secret warriors. Just a group of young people he considered way too powerful to not keep track of, but also way too unstable to put in regular superheroics, I guess you would say. He kept them below board and off other records besides his own. He called them caterpillars. You know, things that could turn into butterflies and, of course, change the path of the world. And I'm still trying to figure out how useful he's going to be beyond just, for lack of a better term, being the Avengers shuttle driver.
Well, I think they kind of addressed that a little bit with that Shi'ar battle and whatnot, where Captain America basically said, you know, well, what happens if you put one of those inside another? Bad things are great. Get on it. You know, I want to see bad things happen. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah.
Well,
if he expands his powers and actually uses it to, you know, essentially telefrag people, then, you know, well, it's very lethal, but at the same time could be useful.
It's one thing to say that when you're doing that with Battleship inside Battleship. Do you think he has the stones to do that with person inside person?
I don't know. His character in and of itself hasn't really been well-developed. I'm still unfamiliar. You know, he basically is just kind of like in passive mode in a way where he's like, okay, yeah, I can do all of these things, but you got to ask me to do it. He doesn't really take initiative. So I think it would be, you know, does his morals allow him to do something like that? And would somebody else ask him to do that? I mean, Cap's obviously not going to be one to do that, but...
Yeah, it is one of those things that's kind of interesting, though. I don't know if he's going to be one of those characters where he's just going to displace somebody and get them off the battlefield, or if someone's going to point a gun at him and finally realize that's not a gun, that's his colon. Or...
yeah, that, I mean, the guy can teleport people to Mars.
Yeah. Is he going to embed people in walls
outside,
or something?
You know, it's just like, go sit up in the upper atmosphere for a while.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, here's the moon, you know, have fun with that. You know, oh, look, the sun. Ouch.
Yeah. Or is it one of those cases where Tony Stark's going to walk around Avengers Tower and say, hey, who put the sculpture of the arm in the wall? That's not a sculpture, sir. it's one of those gray areas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, speaking of gray areas, they have a Captain Universe.
That was like, I was like, wait, when did we get, you know, and then her memory loss and everything else going on with that?
Well,
yeah, kind of freaky.
Well, Captain Universe, how familiar are you guys with Captain Universe or what that is?
I had never, I mean, I was like, okay, Captain Marvel and then Captain Universe. Well, wait, who's that?
Okay, this is one of those things that's going to be combination of classic but cloudy. The universe has a self-correction item, kind of like a one working white blood cell that's called the Unipower. It's this bizarre sentient energy that floats around, and it appears where it's most needed. I don't know how to put it better than that, because that's how I've read it. And it can inhabit different hosts usually during short periods of time. Because it's sentient, it decides when it's needed and when it needs to go. It's been bonded with a lot of different characters, including the Invisible Woman for a short time. It had Spider-Man for an extended period of time. You know, the original Peter Parker one, anyway. Even inhabited X-23 for a little while.
Interesting.
Yeah, could you imagine that claw slash?
reminding me severely of, like, Green Lantern Power Rings.
Sort of, except it's much more mastery over all reality than just one thing you control. But I think it was in the Hulk for a bit. And
that's scary.
Yeah, and it grants what you would expect from an avatar of the universe. Flight, almost immeasurable strength, energy blasts of unknown degrees. And as you saw in issue 3, you know, very fine control over reality.
Well, I realize that this is a different comic, but they also have the New Avengers Illuminati.
Yes.
And the things that they're dealing with there, some of the things that this particular Captain Universe was saying, you know, that it's broken and so forth, kind of brought to mind that other situation that they're dealing with in Illuminati.
Well, see,
and I'm kind of wondering if they might be tying in somehow.
I think it's a lot more connected than they're saying up front, because we'll get into that in a little bit, but the origin of this current Hyperion, it did mirror a lot of what's going on in New Avengers.
Yes,
you know,
yes, it did. That was another good point.
Yeah, that red universe
really kind of mirrored that, and I was like,
Yeah, that red universe cracking in and then wiped out Black Swan's universe, and then she's on the Earthbound one, and now they're dealing with the same thing in New Avengers.
Right.
Well, I guess what a lot of people would call the 616, anyway.
So, I'm honestly reading the New Avengers as almost like one of those alternate realities and not, you know, our reality, the 616 reality.
Well, I mean, this obviously is very well connected now that I think about it, because in issue 1, if you remember, Steve Rogers wasn't sleeping well. He was having nightmares, and those nightmares had to be with the Illuminati.
Right.
And as of issue 3, I think, of that book, they wiped his mind and, I don't want to say kicked him out, but basically gave him a silent, this is not your problem.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how far back they wiped his memory. You know, does he even remember being part of the Illuminati, or is this just more of a, you don't know that the worlds are colliding, you know, go deal with other things now.
I do think it's more selective. I think they wiped out his memory of the Illuminati specifically, because if he had any memory of it, you know he'd be fretting over it.
Yeah.
And that's a heavy distraction. You're right. The universe keeps, or this Captain Universe keeps saying it's broken. And it's possibly dying, which I don't quite know how to take that, because there's what's going on in New Avengers, but at the same time, half the Avengers' adventures have to do with the universe being broken, nearly destroyed. You know, maybe this is just a cumulative effect, like with what the Guardians of the Galaxy dealt with a while ago.
Mm.
You know, with the spatial rift that led into the dead universe.
Right. But, and since they still haven't quantified the event that started all of these universes and Earths, you know, colliding with each other, who knows, maybe that's part of the trigger.
Maybe that's part of whatever's going on in Infinity or the Apocalypse Twins later this year.
Mm.
I know, it's the Marvel Universe has gotten so complicated, it's kind of hard to see where things are going, but that's not a complaint to me. When comic books are too transparent, why read them?
Yeah. If you know exactly where things are going, then it's really not worth it. But, yeah, I... Speculating on the interconnectivity of the different comic book titles and whatnot is something that can be fun.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of interesting to find out how Wolverine can be on 4 different teams at once.
His superpower is multitasking. Shh.
I think they joked about that once in one series. I think it was in the New Avengers. I think Spider-Man was at a table with him while he's drinking a beer, and he looked over and said, how many teams are you on, anyway? Multitasking is one of my mutant powers.
I thought it was one of the female members.
Ah, who knows?
Anyway.
You know, I still miss the Luke Cage Spider-Man dynamic they had. But other days.
Yeah.
And we touched on it briefly that this team has a Hyperion, which is just a frightening concept in itself.
Yeah, that was another character that I wasn't very familiar with, and so another Superman clone in a way.
Not just that. The Squadron Supreme is basically a person-to-person allegory of the Big Seven of the Justice League.
I see. Wow.
Yeah, and they were brought in, the first version of them were brought from another dimension to be villains in the Marvel Universe. You know, it was one of those silent things where you're looking across the aisle and giving a middle finger and going, fuck you!
Well, that explains a couple things.
but there have been a few versions of this character, and just about all of them have been pretty much invulnerable, very egotistical, and, you know, kind of twisted mirrors of Superman, you know, honestly. He exists on taking and converting solar radiation into nourishment, fuels all of his abilities, he has the I-beams, the super strength, the large, gaudy cape.
Total package going there.
I don't know. I don't. Well, are you spending time looking at his package, or do you mean that gigantic codpiece he wears? Because if you want to talk about superhero packages, I think we need to move on to another discussion.
Yes.
Oh, you want to talk about packages?
No, hell no.
Okay, I thought we were going to talk about, you know, what the Black Widow would look like after the Hulk was done with her.
Use my mic.
Okay. But the Hyperion also led into what's going on in New Avengers, because he dealt with his universe being, I don't know how to put it, impacted on by another. I mean, what did you think of what you read there?
Well, that one, I think him and his group tried to do what the Avengers did and ultimately failed, but...
Yeah, the Hyperion surviving two universes colliding together. He was in the middle, and then he survived, I don't know about without a scratch, but he survived it, and I have no idea what to do with the guy if he goes crazy. And he did kind of, he did turn into a messiah when those things popped out of the pods from the terraforming project.
Yeah, and I thought that was a bad thing.
Yeah, typically when somebody with that much power starts playing God for all intents and purposes, doesn't usually turn out very well. well.
Admittedly. I'm just hoping it's something a little more pragmatic, because through the issue, they kept saying there's the two Hyperions. The one that's up front and nice to everybody, but there's the other one who sees how everything works, and he's kind of detached. Maybe these new beings just make more sense to him.
I'm hoping it's something like that. I did find it interesting that kind of inner dialogue going on with his character, where, yeah, he was somewhat removed, and, I mean, obviously that was, you know, since I wasn't familiar with the character, that was kind of my first introduction to his character, so I was kind of like, oh, okay, that's how he works.
Well, like we've discussed, all Hyperions at some point all Hyperions have a pretty good level of arrogance and self-importance to them, just whether or not they can direct it properly. And this one's going to bear watching, although I doubt we'll see him in a lot of issues, because of something requiring a being of that much power doesn't come up that often.
Yeah, I mean, they're still kind of dealing with the aftermath of what even involved all of the characters to begin with, so I assume we're still going to be seeing them, but not for much longer, I'm hoping.
I don't know. We'll discuss that in a little bit, because it seems like things are starting to crop back up as far as threats go.
Mm.
And we'll move on to another new X-Factor here, and that is Smasher.
Which, again, I had no idea. I wasn't that familiar with the Shi'ar setup.
Wait. How could you not be that certain? I don't know how many times we read the Dark Phoenix saga.
You know, but I actually haven't read the Dark Phoenix saga, not in its entirety.
I know what you're getting for your birthday, asshole. You know, that's... I don't know what to say. It's like you just tried to tell me I was Catholic and drive a cross through my heart, you bastard.
I don't know. You know, I was familiar with Oracle. I was familiar with... and now his name just vanished.
Starbolt?
No, the other one. Guardian. Yeah, there we go.
Well, Guardian's not... he's Guardian in name only these days.
Yeah. But, you know, those were the two that I was the most familiar with from their team.
I don't know which of your testicles hold the nerd in it, but I need to kick you right in it.
It has been a number of years.
Well, the Smasher... how do I describe this? The Smasher has been the Imperial Guard red shirt for years. The powers are all derived from an exosuit that they wear, so whenever one of the Imperial Guards died, invariably it's a Smasher. You know, it's kind of the easiest one to replace in the entire Guard.
And, that makes sense.
Yeah, and continuing with the Superman allegories, it's almost funny that this Smasher was a Kansas farm girl.
Yeah, yeah. In a way, yes.
You know, and not only that, she was kind of more likable than Superman in his early phases to me, because she cared a lot about her family to the point where she gave up her dreams of going to school for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, being that she was a Kansas, you know, farm girl and not some, you know, alien from another planet and whatnot, then, you know, she is more human.
Yeah. Well, it was also kind of interesting because, you know, she was, like you said, 100% normal. She wasn't bitten by radioactive goggles or anything.
No. It was her choice to put them on. I mean, I don't know about any of you. I would like to think that if, you know, these weird goggles I found out in a cornfield started talking to me, I'd probably throw them away.
Yeah.
Me being, you know, the actual normal human being. The geek in me goes, oh, hell no, I'll put those on. But, you know.
I gotta admit, if somebody's talking at me through goggles, I would have to assume I'm being punked. But it's the whole idea of her origin is actually surprisingly linear. She put on the goggles, she ended up becoming a member of like the low class Imperial Guard, and, you know, through an event worked her way into the big leagues,
which also puts a little more of a strain on her availability now.
I would imagine so. There's probably going to be a lot of periods where she's just not around, and that doesn't bother me so much. But it does expand the Avengers storytelling base in that there's someone on the front lines of galactic problems who can tell them, need you here.
Mm.
And then one quick word from Manifold, and there they are. So it adds new storytelling possibilities there never were before, because even though the Avengers have had a lot of space adventures, you gotta admit, they find out about a lot of it way too late to be an early impactor.
Yeah. I mean, just due to the way that the team is set up, you know, they are the Avengers, you know. Bad stuff happens, then they come in.
You're right.
Really, they're kind of like the first word, oh, get the Avengers here now. It's somebody else is, you know, involved in it, and then they're like, okay, we need help.
You're right. I've never thought about the name Avenger so far because it does imply you're coming in after the event and saying, we're here! You know, too late, Dick. Now do something about it.
Yeah.
The one thing that actually got me interested and kept me up for like hours at night was how her connection to the Avengers started. I'm looking at the page right now. It says, through the grandfather. I think, who the hell is he?
I'm going to assume he was just some soldier in World War II that probably knew Captain America, you know, in the day.
Well, I actually kind of looked it up Wikipedia, and apparently it was old British comic by the name of Dan Dare.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's actually a British pilot who frequently, you know, visited space.
I didn't realize it was that interconnected. Booyah on you, man. You know, I was ready to take it on face value.
But yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. Actually, the BBC actually tried to relaunch a series on it several times.
Huh. Wow, okay, groovy. But are there any characters from this lineup that you feel is missing?
I don't know about missing, but I did find it interesting, you know, back at the beginning when Tony Stark and Cap were sitting there talking, and they brought up a list of names, mm-hmm. and of course the two characters are kind of covering up a lot of them, so they're kind of hard to see, but I did notice She-Hulk's name in there, and
of course.
I did notice the Maximoff's names in there,
mm-hmm.
so definitely, of course, they... their initial members did not include Hawkeye, and his name was on that list. So it definitely gives...
Well, wait, he was one of the first six. He's one of the movie six.
I know, but when they were having their discussion, they said, well, we definitely need this person. We definitely need this person. Hawkeye's name wasn't in there, but he was on the list of people that they called up. Clint Barton was at the bottom right.
Well, it was probably just a foregone conclusion they already had him. Up until that point, Barton was leading the Secret Avengers.
Well, I'm just saying that a lot of those names on the list are still possibilities for, you know,
yeah.
active service.
Yeah, I imagine they're not going to go with just old names, though. I'm sure they'll bring up some new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because
especially with the direction that they've been going.
Yeah, well, in the first page of all these issues, you've seen that Venn diagram that they popped up with, and it has
yes.
about four or five empty slots in it.
Well, and... that is one of the other things, too, is they have kind of like the current roster at the bottom of all of that and then highlight the ones that are in that current issue, which is another kind of nice way to, you know, at least know what you're getting into.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I would like to see a couple of the Secret Avengers. I thought Venom was really interesting in that series.
Venom or Anti-Venom?
Venom. The current Venom is Flash Thompson, believe it or not.
That's right. That's
really...
Yeah, he lost his legs as a result of being a soldier in Iraq, and he became part of kind of a secretive government assassin project. They had kind of chemically, what's the word I'm looking for? Lobotomized the Venom symbiote, and they were giving it to soldiers on a limited basis, but they could only have it for about 20 tries before it started to reassert itself over its host. I don't know the full story, but somehow he's beat that, and that is his... that's him now. He is Venom. And they've taken it kind of an interesting direction because the current Venom looks like a cross between the black suit Spider-Man and like black mercenary gear, like body armor and all that. And he basically will use a symbiote, pick up clips of ammunition and random bullets all over the place and absorb them and hold on to them. Then he will use the symbiote to replicate weapons in his hands and fire the bullets.
Sounds like Spawn.
Almost. It's rather interesting. But it was one of those characters that turned out to be much deeper than I thought it would be. But he's been an Avenger. Captain Britain was one of the Secret Avengers. I'd like to see him. I mean,
he was on that list. Also on that list.
Well, if you're going to do a world story, why not the guy that's king of the multiverse? You know,
now, I can't remember. Is he still bound to Britain, or did they get rid of that?
They got rid of that particular aspect. As part of the Secret Avengers, he was, like, extra-dimensional.
Okay.
He's got some magical amulet or something related to Britain.
Well, if you guys get a chance, find the miniseries of Captain Britain and MI-13. It happened as a result of the Secret Invasion. It only lasted about 12 or 13 issues, but it was honestly the best story Marvel had going at the time. And it brought up new characters, old characters, and very interesting characters. It also tweaked his powers beyond belief, so I think it got rid of a lot of the limitations that kept him on that particular end of things. Let me see. There was one other I wanted to bring up, but now I'm having memory issues. Go figure. But I was going to say Luke Cage, honestly. His stint in the New Avengers really revitalized the character. And when they made him team leader, it brought out this unnatural amount of heart and determination. And he's not the most well-spoken character. He doesn't see things on a global standard like the others, but he's always just been interesting to watch.
Well, that kind of makes him grounded in a way.
It does. And that was, I guess, the one failing was that he always kept reminding the Avengers, you know, I know you have these global problems, but don't forget the streets. The streets are bleeding.
I get Spider-Man for that.
You mean Otto Octavius?
That bit of news right there just kind of freaks me out.
Maybe we'll make Superior Spider-Man a conversation. It's going to hit issue 5 or 6 here soon. So at least there will be enough to discuss. But what about you, Jesse? Do you know of any classic Avengers characters or at least prior ones you'd want to see?
Oh. You know, it would be great if I actually, you know, read that stuff back then.
Well, I only got into the Avengers as a result of the Avengers Disassemble Brian Michael Bendis did about 7 years ago. So it's not like my lore is any deeper than yours. I'm just one of those people that when I was bored, I would read the Handbook to the Marvel Universe.
I'll tell you one that I don't want to see anytime soon, and that's Wanda Maximoff. She's done entirely too much lately.
Don't read Uncanny Avengers, then.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a whole other story. It could be one of the more dynamic teams out there because it's Captain America's answer to, yes, I've ignored mutants too long. Here is a team of 50% Avengers and 50% X-Men to deal with everything I've been screwing up with.
Well, at least it was Cap that did it and not Stark.
Yeah, well, he was smart enough not to take the lead on the team. He formed it, but he's not the leader.
Well, I'm looking at the current roster. I don't see anyone with any significant, you know, background other than just, you know, straight up brawl fighting. Or maybe Smasher with her study with space and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, they're...
Yeah, that is true. I mean, other than Star brains didn't department. Have any really big brains.
Well, they got Banner.
That's right.
You know, Banner's managed to change his tune lately. He wants to be as much a super scientist that's been recognized as one as much as he's allowing people to use the Hulk.
Well, this is true, but then again, you know, they immediately asked him, well, do you have anything else to add? And he's like, nope, they killed this many people. I think talking's done. And then immediately gets mind-whammed and goes to the other side. Well, so I don't really consider him a reliable person.
He's probably one of the more reliable things to count on, though, but he's made it very clear, even in the current Indestructible Hulk series, the Hulk is not something to be necessarily controlled. It's something... It's a walking, talking grenade. You pull pin, point, and hope that's what's going to explode. And that's all that's ever been said about the Hulk. I mean, every time he's been involved in one of the bigger events, he's been a game changer, but it's not one of those things where everyone said, call the Hulk! It's just like, point Banner at that and poke him.
Have they done anything with his kids lately?
He only has one active that I know of. I think the other one they killed. But Scar is a member of the Dark Avengers. That's kind of hard to explain.
Okay.
But he's off-world, so he's a non-factor.
Gotcha.
I think we've hit a lot of the big ones. I mean, they're still based in Avengers Tower in New York.
They still have the Quinjet.
Yeah. Well, all that's become very recognizable because of the movies. You're not going to change that much for the time being.
Yeah.
I have heard that they're looking to cast a Carol Danvers for the next Avengers film.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, the movie was good. It was really good, and it brought out my inner geek, but it was a sausage fest.
True.
So I was really hoping... I heard they may be looking for Janet Van Dyne as well.
Oy.
Yeah, a Wasp.
Yeah, no, I don't know who she is.
Yeah, well, it would make sense. I mean, they've already said they're doing an Ant-Man film in the next couple of years.
Yeah, why not?
Their origins are very tied together, so you would think that the character's going to come up. You know, other than that, I haven't heard a whole lot. The Guardians of the Galaxy, they're casting that right now.
Right.
I'm curious to know how that goes, because if they do a good version of Gamora, that means that She-Hulk is entirely possible to put on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully they
actually,
won't... What?
Well, I mean, obviously they're not going to do... worry about casting Rocket Raccoon. But I think they have all three of the male leads cast now.
I heard they were casting them. I don't remember what the news was as far as Star-Lord, Drax, and... I don't think
they definitely have a Drax. That's the guy that played on Game of Thrones for...
You're going to have to be more specific, because that cast is about as deep as I am stupid.
Yeah, the guy that was in charge of the Horde.
The Horde.
Can't think of his name. I don't read Game of Thrones.
The Horde. The Horde.
The Barbarian Leader.
Oh.
He's dead.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, he's going to be Drax.
Huh. That's interesting. Oh, what? Internet, talk to me. Stuff.
I think when I was reading about him being cast as Drax is when it mentioned that at least three of the male leads have been cast with him.
Okay, got it. Chris Pratt is going to be Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's been in a lot of smaller projects. He's a British guy. He was in Moneyball in 2011. He was on Strangers with Candy during TV. He's in movie 43. He's going to be in Lego, the motion picture. I don't know that I'm going to tout that.
Okay.
I'm not asking questions. He was in Zero Dark Thirty recently, so...
Okay.
He's got some chops. But yeah, I imagine Rocket Raccoon and Groot are going to be CG. There is no way to make a guy in a tree suit look feasible.
Yeah.
And unless you're talking some guy with midget-level proportions, I don't think you're going to have a guy in a raccoon suit either. And that's not a knock against people. That is literally, you know, you're talking about a small furry creature with very short arms and legs trying to carry a Gatling gun.
Yeah, I just... CG is just the way to go with that character.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Gamora is kind of a question mark because I don't... You think they go CG on that skin, or do you think they go body paint?
I just hit IMDb, and they got a thing for Guardians of the Galaxy. Apparently, they got Stan Lee cast as the voice of Rocket Raccoon.
Really?
And Stephen Colbert, the voice of Groot.
Stephen
This is actually sounding very amusing.
Well, the most popular version of Guardians of the Galaxy was a recent one where it was part... Spacefaring Adventures and part Space Camp. You know, it didn't take itself too seriously. I mean, part of what the Guardians were dealing with was Rocket Raccoon was kind of personal liaison between them and the place they were staying at. And the place they were staying at, their liaison was a Russian dog that had telepathic powers. So, a dog talking to a raccoon. You can imagine how that went. You know, and the fact that Groot, all he ever says is, I am Groot, but apparently that's a language of some sort. The raccoon can understand him. So now you've got Stephen Colbert yelling, I am Groot, and Stan Lee talking back and says, well, that makes sense. So I can only imagine how this is going to go. The Guardians of the Galaxy series should be restarting as of March. It's going to be a new Star-Lord. It's not going to be the classic Peter Quill. I think the character is going to be named Peter Quill, but it's a new talent. Well, we know that. I'm talking about comic books. I think that was the one failing of the previous series, was that it was this character that had deep, deep Marvel history, but it was such an unpopular character that a lot of people had to look him up. So they're probably restarting the character in hopes that it can keep it relevant and allow more people to latch on.
Well, it seems like a good move because, yeah, up until the latest storyline, I wasn't even familiar with, you know, the character. So, yeah, he was one of those guys I had to go look up.
Yeah, well, Gamora is also a rather interesting character in that she is a space pirate who kind of had a turn of heart as a result of a couple different things that happened in the Marvel Universe. But she's regarded as one of the best combatants in the universe. I'm trying to think about how to put this to people. Think of a Star Trek Orion slave girl who dresses in a bodysuit, carries a sword, and takes lip from no man.
Yeah, that pretty accurately describes her.
Yeah. So she had a romantic affair with the last Nova, Richard Ryder, and he's gone now for various reasons. It involved a Thanos. Dead, I don't know about, but definitely unavailable.
Well, being that it's Thanos, more than likely dead.
Yeah. I wonder if a version of him is going to show up. The Nova character seems to be getting a revival in Marvel. It's going to get a new series here pretty soon. I think he was asked to be an Avenger. He may be one of those missing spots in there. Mm. And the character is also appearing in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon series.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, can you guys think of anything we missed in this one?
Not right off the top of my head. Oh, where's Jarvis?
I think he's still there. If you remember when Captain Universe was talking to the people trying to terraform Earth, she kept mentioning Pi, and after she got rid of that robot by touching him and disintegrating him, Tony Stark leaned over to Captain America and said, "Remind me to put on Jarvis's That's to-do right. list, get Pi." Right.
And then the whole conversation between
Shang-Chi and Captain Universe, he brought Pi.
Yep. So, yeah, I guess Jarvis is at work.
It almost seems like this Captain Universe has taken over the role of Sentry in the new Avengers of, please don't piss him off.
Well, person with powers of the universe. I can't imagine really wanting to go out of my way.
Well, if she coughs too hard, planets are going to disappear.
Yeah. And being that she's on Earth, that's probably the first one to go.
I meant it more like if she burps, there's a new universe. If she farts, there's one blown away.
Yeah.
Well, galaxy anyway, but you get my gist. That actually is a character I miss in all this, and a lot of people are going to sneer when I say this, but I miss the Sentry. And, the Sentry was another one of those Superman allegories, except he had these weird energy projection powers. He had molecular control similar to the Molecule Man, which is how everything for him functioned. But the reason why I miss it was because it was like watching the new Avengers constantly play with a stick of lit dynamite and just hoping they could throw it fast enough. I mean, well, seriously, think about this. You've got something with the approximate powers of Superman, something that, while he's around, is acknowledged as the most powerful being on the planet, bar none. And he is schizophrenic.
Yeah. That was probably the most frightening thing about it. Yeah. Let's take someone with that much power and give them mental issues.
Right. He's not sure if what he's staring at is real, if it's something he's created, or if it's something he has to deal with. And that, to me, is awesome. Not because a character that powerful deserves to have some serious weaknesses.
Well, and then, of course, there's the fact that, of his alternate personality or whatever, the Void.
Yeah, which turned out may have been the actual person himself. That's still kind of up to debate.
Yeah.
But there was just that aspect of, this is the guy that can save us all, and this is the guy that could burn us all. And that was just, I don't know, that added a bit of extra excitement to me in that, can you direct him fast enough? I mean, we're talking about a guy who, when they actually put him up against Doctor Doom, he was all they needed. And how many characters in the Marvel Universe ever can say they can win one-on-one with Doom?
Squirrel Girl.
Okay, you cheated. Bastard cheated. You just threw that right in my face.
I'm sorry, that character's...
Nuts and all. That sucked, dude.
See, now that's who they need to get on the Avengers.
That would be actually kind of funny to watch, except you're right. That'd be another brawler, and they definitely need more energy projectors and more utilitary characters.
Yeah.
Squirrel Girl, I can't believe you just threw those nuts in my face, man. Oh, God's sake. I think we've hit most of the major notes. I don't think anything's lagging. I mean, I'm interested to see where it's going. I just hope it stays consistently high. The art is this Kubert style. It's a little scratchy, and I can deal with it, but the storyline it's been lagging a little bit while they deal with the origin stories of the newer characters.
Yeah, and of course, now we have AIM involved in all of this.
Yeah. Actually, that is something that seems like every time we're about to finish something, we come up with the details. AIM is not something I really wish to discuss, because that's pretty self-explanatory. What I wanted to discuss was the impact of the new universe. I know you guys are probably scratching your heads, because I'm the comic book geek, like, hardcore. the new universe was kind of a secondary universe that Marvel created a while ago. It had a lot of interesting characters in it, and those characters are starting to pop up in the 616. And the first one was the character they've been talking to, Adam. Remember they corrected his name at the end of issue 6?
Yes.
They kept calling him Black Veil. Turns out his name is Nightmask. Nightmask was the name of one of the very prominent characters in the new universe. And in the new universe, there was an event that brought powers to a lot of regular people. And you remember, and I know these words are going to sound familiar, in the new universe, it was called the White Event.
And that's what just showed up.
Yeah, this flash of light ended up developing powers in a lot of different people. Some good, some bad, like you'd expect. It also ended up branding someone. They had this weird star mark on their hand. And he ended up being another Superman-type character, you know, strength, energy projection. But his name was, or his call sign was Starbrand. And I saw a preview of issue 7. There is this odd circle and star mark that you can see one of the characters looking at in a Quinjet display screen. So it looks like they're going to take this cult, I guess you could say cult group of characters in universe, and they're going to bring them into the regular 616, probably to entice old and new readers.
Solid plan.
I wish DC was smart enough to do that with their icon characters.
We're going to have that conversation eventually, but oh my god.
Actually, maybe that would be a good conversation to dovetail into next week's discussion of Wildstorm is, you know, universe integration. Who's done it right, who's done it wrong?
You fail at it so badly.
Well, let's be fair. Both sides of the major two have failed in this repeatedly.
No, this is true. DC's is the most recent.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But that's, yeah, we'll talk about how they killed our childhood. All right.
That Robot Chicken didn't do it?
I can laugh at that.
Oh, that was painful. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for tuning back in. It looks like Mission Start Podcast likes us, and they're going to ask us to continue. On behalf of the newly coined Rolling 20s, this is Jeremy.
This is Steve.
And Jesse.
Thank you very much. Tune in next week, and we will talk about universe integration. Have a good one, and don't hurt anybody.
Till next week.